All right, loan officers, welcome. We are here today with Lending Leadership, the Creative Brief, and we have a very, very special guest that I'm excited to announce for you guys. Trevor York from LingSpot has joined us today, and we are going to be talking about all things branding, all things creative for loan officers, and how you guys can build your businesses and your brands. Welcome, Trevor.
Hello, it's good to see you guys.
It's good to see you. Hey, Rach.
Hi, thanks so much for taking some time. Trevor was just one of our key speakers at our sales rally. And man, I want to say pretty much everybody walked away with this feeling of, who was Trevor York? That was incredible. You know, the way you told stories and the way that you connected with our group was awesome. And one key thing kept coming up, your awesome phrase of different is better than better. Where the heck did you come up with that? It's so simple, but so amazing. And it's just one of those things that everyone is still talking about. And they're using that as their own mantra in everything they're doing. Where did that come from?
So it was a buddy of mine, Chris Doe. And I believe he actually took it from, there's an author who wrote a book. It kind of tapping into creativity. But Chris was talking about this at a conference a few years back. And Chris is like graphic designer, half brain of graphic designer. Half brain, like the world's greatest life coach and philosopher. So brilliant, brilliant human. And so he came to this conference that we put on, and he's talking to people in the mortgage industry. And so his whole life, he's spoken to creative people. And so now he's speaking to very left brain people, which are a lot different than the creative world he's used to. And so this was one of the things that he broke down, and he kind of said it quickly, but it jumped out to me because I'm like, that's such a good point. And we see this all the time in our industry. Like I don't know when I walked into the room that you guys put on, right? There's some of the top producers sitting in there, and you guys have a lot of top producers. I have no idea who's a top producer, even like a 30-year person versus someone who's 1 year in the business. Like when you look at them, you don't really know a difference. And then in our like digital world, now everybody could sound like a pro because you can rehearse what you're going to say 30 times. So me being 1 year in the business could sound as good as someone who's 30 years in the business, right? And so it's not so much about being the best, it's about being the best known. And so when Chris was kind of breaking this down, and he broke it down in a lot of different ways, that concept of like different is better than better, because I mean, we all know it in our industry, there's a lot of top producers who are not good at loans. And it's frustrating for people, like, I know more than they do. It's like, well, it's not really what it's about, unfortunately. I stole that from Chris. I think Chris stole it from someone else, but just a really cool concept. And I think it applies so strongly in our industry.
Well, we have so many loan officers who were inspired by that, Trevor. Like even I think it was one of our awesome LOs, Denise, she was sending out a recipe to her customers and her realtors, over Easter weekend or before the holiday. And she was just pointing out some really cool things that she does with her recipe. And she actually referenced the tag and said, different is better than better. And I think it inspired her to do something totally different before the holiday to get in front of people, instead of just saying Happy Easter, like many do, or send out a family photograph, which everybody does and are very nice to do, not knocking that at all. She thought of this really unique dish that she makes and how it could stand out sharing the recipe with, you know, her database. So kind of a cool concept.
You know, it was not just a recipe. It was Denise in this like tropical outfit. And it's Easter, right? She made a meatloaf lamb. And it was like this lamb. And then I'm thinking, okay, are your guests just going to hack into this lamb? It was lovely. It was adorable.
That was incredible. I love to see that. That's always that. I feel like one of the problems we have in our industry is we always sell competence over connection. Right. So like the content we make, the marketing do, we're constantly trying to enforce competence of like, we're good at what we do. And we always try to tie something back to a sale. So then we'll get kind of like going into Easter, enjoy time with your family, remember homeowner. And then we always have to bring it back to some sort of sale. And ultimately, like the thing we sell is connection. And so, yeah, the gifts and how we show up. And Corinne actually took this and ran with it. And it was like one of my favorite examples. Can I share that, Corinne?
Yes, please share it. I wanted to make sure you got them first, but go ahead and share it.
So this just showed up to my house like 3 days ago, right before I was leaving for another talk, but it was a thank you gift for going to the conference. And I kind of know what usually comes in those, you know what I mean? And it's like the kind of, you know what to expect. And I open it and it was just two jars of pickles. And I'm like, this is already cool. I already like where this is going, because that is not at all what I expected. But what made it so neat, and it wasn't so much just like a funny shtick, it was actually really, really cool and personal, was then Corinne shared about these pickles and you can only get them in one place and that she loves these and thinks they're amazing. And it's amazing because I don't have to be like a pickle connoisseur to think this was a cool gift. The cool part was like, I just got to learn more about Corinne. That felt really personal, felt like a connection piece. And I was like, that was my favorite gift I've ever gotten from a event organizer. Like that was so cool and unique and 100% different. And it's memorable.
Well, I think one of the biggest points that you've made, Trevor, that's really resonated with a lot of us too, and you pointed this out in your presentation, not to blow, you guys have to see his presentation if you haven't, or talk to Trevor about some of his speaking engagements, but that when you're getting ready to send something that's out of the box, we always have that fear moment, right? Everybody does this. Any small business owner, anybody who's sending something out of the box, oh, well, you know, this is different and it's kind of weird. And what if the person doesn't like it? And it triggered, it went into my mind, well, you know, what if Trevor doesn't like dill pickles? I mean, I would be very disappointed if you didn't, Trevor. We'll get into that in a minute. But if he didn't like them, I sent him a gift and he doesn't even like them. But then I remembered your presentation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And it's about connecting, standing out, and somebody getting that. And whether or not they're actually a pickle lover doesn't matter. Somebody in their household is, or somebody they know is anyway.
That's a really good point. And I think that that's one of the things when I do this talk is every time afterwards, people will come up and it's like, man, that was exciting. And I have the thing and they already know what they want to do, which is interesting. Like a lot of people, it doesn't so much inspire the idea as it hopefully inspires some action. And a lot of times people just need permission to do the thing that they already wanted to do. And it's really weird because doing something different is inherently scary, which is why I think we all default to what's been done is because it's safe. And so then when you build your business, you build it the same way someone else did because it's safe and it's proven. Even if you want to try a different way, there's a little bit of fear in there. And this has come up a lot of times with buddies when I'm talking about this talk and, you know, like how come more people don't take action on this? And I think part of it, it's not necessarily even a fear of failure, which is weird because in the coaching world, like I've taught people social media for the last 5 years. I've coached thousands of people in mortgage and real estate. And when I give people like, here, say these exact words, go on social and say it. They say it and they're not afraid of it failing or not. But then they're afraid to say their own words where I'm like, okay, now you make a script. And so it's never the fear of failing because they didn't have that fear when it was something I gave, whether it worked or not. But it's if the one I gave them didn't work, at least it wasn't something new and it's not on them. Where when you try something original and you're the first to try something and it doesn't work, it's like, oh, that's on me. And then we get really critical of ourselves and then we start to have all this negative self-talk. And so it's a shift in our head of like knowing we're not afraid of failure. There's this selfishness that like we're afraid of the failure being on us. And so much of that goes away when you take that first step is one, just you have to do the thing and you get that affirmation that it's not as scary as you thought and it doesn't reflect on you any different way. And then the other piece to that, which me and you kind of laughed about at the event, Corinne, is like, some of the stuff you're already doing isn't working. So then why not try it? You know, like we were jokingly saying, like if you're giving fruit baskets at closing and then now you want to do pickles and you're scared, like what if they don't like pickles? Like they probably didn't like the fruit basket anyways. No, it's not like that's crushing and hitting it out of the park. So like what's really the risk?
I love that you brought that up, Trevor. And this is so funny. And gosh, yeah, it's like if it's on me, then you're exposing yourself, right? It's like, oh, then they're going to know I'm terrible. But I think this, should I tell them the Bridget story, Corinne?
My Bridget story.
I experienced the same thing. And I think anyone in sales, nobody likes cold calling. Cold calling's awful because you feel like I'm interrupting people and like they're going to hate me and I'm cool. Like I got something good to give here. I've got something good to say.
Yeah.
So my background's in theater and acting and singing. And so I was like, all right, I got to change this up. So I created my own alter ego and I named her Bridget and she's English. And so I would cold call and have Bridget do it because if they denied Bridget, it's fine because Rachel was still safe. But Bridget is the one they don't like, but Rachel's good. So, you know, creating that little alter ego for yourself and think, okay, well, maybe people need to do this for posting on social, you know, like think of it as your alter ego. And if you need to create a Bridget, then fine. I mean, people might think you're a little crazy, I would imagine. But for me, I could kind of hide behind that. And then it got me over the hump of being like, okay, Rachel's ready to make some cold calls now. Now that I knew that I had the track record of Bridget behind me.
I feel like there's so many like little nuances to that story of why that worked and why that was helpful. But it's, you see this a lot with street performers. A lot of them, like when you see them painted, they paint their whole faces or they wear masks or there's something that literally changes. And that's when they become very, very outgoing. And so you'll see some of these performers that have a lot of these kind of like the costumes are part of their act. Those types of people, when you take them out of that setting, are very introverted or more shy versus the performers who show up just as themselves and they are the performer. And so it's really interesting because that helps a lot of people be able to get their art into the world. Is like dancers will do it, you know, like throw the mask on, that's part of your shtick. And then you just become this different person. And when you put that on, you feel like something really powerful. So that
it
is
feels like it's basic psychology or something. There's a psychology shift, or I'm sure if we had like a doctor in psychology here, they would have a simple way to define or explain this, right? But it's really about feeling confident in your space. You know, and how that mind shift occurs and putting you in a place where you can feel confident doing something. How did you get into this, Trevor? Like, how did you get to this place of consulting LOs and, you know, making their brands different and doing what you do so well?
So I'm actually still licensed loan officer. I've been in the business since 17. And for me, it was like, I got in, I was the youngest person in my branch. I was kind of the youngest person in my market, really, because I got in 17, which was still kind of, you know, the recession weeded out a lot of people. No people wanted to get into mortgage post-crash. So I was just at the start of like, this isn't the worst profession in the world. Again, you know, like right when it was coming back. So it was kind of me and then all these people that were 30-year veterans. There was no one that was like 5 years in the business or, you know, sub 10 years. It was either you're a veteran or me. And so when I was doing this, I was following what my branch manager showed me because it worked. You know what I mean? And obviously I'm like a huge fan of mentors. And this is what he was showing me, is you call on builders. And keep in mind, like this guy still hand wrote his loan estimates. And then his team would have to send like an official one. But he was still adamant of like, I want to send this to the person in actual pen. And then his team would scan the handwritten one. And then they would do the official one to make sure that it was compliant. So that's what he did, but he did extremely well. He was one of the top producers in our city, really well known. And so I was copying what he was doing because it worked. And then I was having a lot of like friction with like, I don't really like the way I'm doing this. And there was something actually, there was like a specific day where I remember I was having one of those days that we all have in mortgage where I'm like, man, I'm getting shopped. I got yelled at, like something bad happened out of my control. Is those days where you're like, I hate my job, you know? And so I went into his office because I'm like, man, he's going to have some like wisdom for me. He's been doing this a really long time. And I go into his office and he's on the phone and he's getting ripped by a borrower. And I'm like, man, if I do everything he's showing me to the best of my abilities, I eventually get to where he's at. And then I'm looking where he's at and I'm like, he's in the same place I'm at. He just has more money is the only difference.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of a wake-up call to me where I'm like, man, if I spend the next 30 years doing everything right, I'm going to be exactly where I am now. The only difference is going to be income, which that's a pretty crummy thing to be driven solely by, right? And so then for me, that's when I started like, I'm going to make some social media videos. My background was in video, like going through college, I'd film weddings and do stuff in the video world. So I'm like, I want to do videos. And I told my manager that and he's like, oh, they don't work. And I'm like, oh, you tried it? He's like, no, because they don't work. And I'm like, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, you love that? No, I've never done it before, but I'm going to tell you it doesn't work.
Yeah, like people like
that's a good one.
Yes. So for me, that was just a green light. Like, go ahead and do it. So I'm like, all right. And did the videos and they started working. And then for me, the focus was on like, I just want to make the best possible videos for the person on the other side of the camera. And so at the start, like that's my local sphere. It's all the people that are friends with me on Facebook or Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so at the start, I was making these how I would expect a loan officer to make these. Because again, I just went back to what was safe. You know, so it was, hey, this is Trevor York with All Western Mortgage. And today I'm talking about, I got my collared shirt on and my hair combed and just is not me. And so even those were starting to work because at that time, nobody was doing video. And so I was getting a lot of really good feedback from like, okay, the vehicle is, there's something here. And my goal was to start doing them more consistently. And in order for me to do that, I had to just film when I was able to. And so there were days where I wasn't meeting with clients or referral partners. where I would just show up to the office wearing a t-shirt and a hat because that's how I dress. And so I would still shoot videos that way. And then those videos were the ones that tended to perform a lot better than the other ones. And there's this kind of whole long story that you guys heard of me going through this process of like, all of a sudden these videos go from reaching hundreds of people to thousands, then hundreds of thousands, then millions of people. And my buddy Mo was kind of pulling this apart of like, all right, what's working? And we kind of found this correlation, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, when you're wearing the hat, the videos do better. And it was amazing because it wasn't the hat. It was actually like, if you closed your eyes and I played you one video where I'm wearing a hat, one where I'm not, the words I chose were different. The confidence, the industry jargon, like all of those were different because when I put the hat on, I was me. It's kind of like we were talking about, like there was Bridget and then there was Rachel, right? Like there was the loan officer Trev and then there was just Trev. And so when I got rid of loan officer Trevor and just started being me, all of a sudden the videos start doing a lot better. And it's because like people just like to be talked to like people. They don't want to be lectured by a loan officer in a collared shirt. So anyways, that was a very long story to give the context of as the video started to blow up, obviously it helped the loan business, but then a lot of people in our industry started to follow. And then that was a lot of them just, it was, none of this was planned. It was just like people ask for the thing and then do it. So they wanted to learn social media. So we started coaching people in social media for the last 5 years. And then the software component of what LinkSpot is was something that was just like asked for by all the people that followed. And so, yeah, that was a long way of showing the journey of how we got to where we are, but
so organic, right? I mean, everyone's throwing that term around now. It's organic. But like when you just kind of, I don't know, roll with it and take the next thing and then the next thing and the next thing. And you just, you grind and you have fun doing it. I think it's so easy to say, I'll just be yourself. Just be authentic. Sometimes people don't even know what that is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're constantly telling our loan officers, yeah, do video. It's so funny. I'm sure the manager who said, no, don't do video because they don't work, is probably kicking himself now or herself now. Like, oh, yeah, they don't work.
Or he's doing video.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think he's doing pretty good. But absolutely right. It is it's such easy words to say. And it is simple, but it's not easy. It's just like, hey, just be you. Like, that's scary. It's difficult. There's a lot of like work you have to do on like, well, who am I? And the one thing I could tell you is you're a lot more than what you do for a living. You know, you're a lot more than a loan officer. And that's the thing we want to share with people. And every single time I've gotten in those situations where people are like, well, there's nothing amazing about me and there's nothing unique. And then it doesn't have to be like, oh, I go do hang gliding and that's my activity and it's something really extraordinary. Like, it could be pretty simple. And so I was talking to this one girl, Cassie, about this, and she's like, there's nothing about like me that's unique. All I do is work. I'm like, well, what do you do when you're not working? She's like, nothing. Like, she's trying to push that. And it's like, well, no, really, like, what does your day look like when you leave here? What are you going to go do? And she's like, well, I'm going to take my dogs for a walk. It's like, okay, where do you walk? And she's like, oh, I go through the hills. And I was like, you enjoy being outside? And she's like, yeah, I like walking on the hills. And then we're doing this thing of like, okay, so now, Cassie, after that, I know way more about you, even if it was just like, you have two dogs, you enjoy going outside, you enjoy these walks because you enjoy nature. Like, those are things that create opportunities to connect with people. And so even simple stuff like that, the more you share it, the more people connect with you and realize you're a real person. And it takes away that feeling of us being a commodity.
But well, I think it's a good point though, because, you know, when you dig into those conversations, Trevor, we hear it too. It's a struggle of figuring out, well, what's my thing? And a lot of times it's just, tell us about your day-to-day. Everybody's a consumer. We're all consumers. We all have something we do outside of work, whether it's, as you pointed out, walking the dog, some hobby that maybe you don't think is that interesting. Maybe you're just sitting and playing chess or playing cards with friends. Like, it could be something like, well, that's not interesting. No, actually it is. And as you point out, it does connect with individuals. To just showcase something in a different way, even if it's something simplistic, than those videos that we see time and time again that, as you point out, are just pointing out, well, we have this product and we have this product, and you see every single person in that industry, whether it be a loan officer or a different industry, saying basically the same thing. Well, this person's doing it walking the dogs and they have the same kind of a dog that I have and they like hiking too, like I like hiking. Might not seem like anything crazy out there different, but it separates you from the way that other people are doing their videos or sharing their concepts.
I think one of the things too is that we set the bar really high on what we think it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then we think we need to commit to this like brand. Like, what's your brand? And then is it like, okay, am I the dog walking lender? It's like, no, it doesn't need to, like, we don't need to get to that level right away, right? A lot of times, like, your brand reveals itself. It's not something you create. And so, like, the example that you did is perfect, is the sending me those pickles was not like, you're not like the pickle lender and now all my marketing is pickle themed and I'm going to, like, it doesn't need to go to that level, you know, like, it's baby steps. And so that was just a way of like, this is who I am. This is a very small piece. Pickles do not define Corinne. But when she passes this door, when she's on vacation, she stops to get the pickles.
Listen, pickles don't define me, Trevor, but I may have ordered another case. So, because they make for great gifts. And if you don't like a salty dill, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's great with a sandwich. So like, yeah, they're around. But no, they absolutely do not define me. But yes, I love it.
Could have been like a wrong example. And Corinne's like, no, I'm going all in on pickles. And next podcast, she's going to be in a pickle costume.
I have one. I have a pickle costume. Colt, he was pickle and peanut. Him and his buddy were pickle and peanuts. It's like a weird cartoon a few years ago. You're getting the pickle costume, Corinne. Sending it to you.
Yeah, we can't not go further with that wrong.
You know, all of this, yeah, because we're always talking about your brand, your brand, your brand. And it's something that it's this fine line where we want people to brand themselves, but yeah, we don't want them. I see that all the time now. The pickle loan officer mom, the mortgage madness mom, you know, we feel like we need to have this tag. Talk to me a little bit about that, because I think people feel like they need to do that. They need to wear that hat.
Yeah. And this is like a deep conversation, and it's interesting because like there's a lot of arguments that's not your personal brand, right? So that could be a brand that you've created or a shtick, but when it comes to your personal brand, like your personal brand is you. And so I think the reason that there is some value in finding what your thing is it makes it kind of easier. So even, I feel like we should find a different example because it'll be hard not to laugh on the pickles. But even if that is the thing, you know, it makes it kind of easier when you're like, okay, I got to give gifts. Gifts are pickle themed. And then I need to send a needs list. Maybe it'll be, you know, a picture of a pickle jar and it looks like the ingredients when I send it out. And then if I send them something, maybe put it in a jar that looks like it's pickles and maybe it's not actually pickles. That's where they're able to get the key to their house that I give them at signing, you know, or like there's all these things that it makes it kind of easy once you have a theme of like, okay, now I know how to incorporate that in all these different areas is like, how can I draw some parallel? And then through that, it gets kind of fun because then all these branches will start to stem off from it. And you're like, okay, maybe it's not just pickles. Maybe it's food in general. And now it's like Corinne's kind of food things. And we're learning about this journey of like, okay, in the summer, it's driving past this thing and it's pickles. But then she also, in the winter, it becomes this thing. And then, so now we have all these different components that are starting to build this brand that is who you are. So on some level, that's kind of easy. The problem where I think it goes wrong is when people create that versus having it organically happen. And so when you try and develop a shtick of like, oh, I want to be the dog walking mom lender and that's my thing, like hopefully that aligns with who you are, because you're going to have to stick with that. And ideally, that's something that just creates connection with people. And so if you're a mom, like absolutely, that makes sense that is part of your personal brand because that's who you are. And if you have dogs, like awesome, that is who you are. My buddy Alex is the mortgage pug. He's had pugs for the last 15 years, and that is a piece of who he is. And it does open the door for conversations and other people who love dogs and even people who hate dogs. And like, dude, I'm a cat person, but I love you and I love my cat as much as you love your pug. You know what I mean? Like, there's still those opportunities. But yeah, that would be the one thing I would caution is that if you're going all in on a brand that you've created, make sure that there's not a disalignment from what your personal brand is, which is who you are. And so my advice would typically be to let that reveal itself, and it kind of like just through who you are, like, oh, I've got kids right now and we're mountain biking. And so I'm just going to write an email newsletter about riding mountain bikes with my son. And then that's going to start to get traction and you get that feedback and you're like, oh, maybe I could share more of that. And then you realize like, man, something that really defines me is like when I'm not working, I love being outdoors and I love being with my family. And so like my buddy Darren has kind of, he's very similar. He likes hiking, he likes skiing. And so he'll have things like his customer journey when you get pre-approved with him, where he shows all the different milestones. It's in the form of like a ski map when you go to a ski resort. And so he's kind of leaning into this thing. And then some of the milestones that he sends is like the trail marker signs when you're hiking, and it'll tell you when you've been pre-approved or these different areas. And so it reveals something about Darren. And so he doesn't have to like create the shtick, but is just who he is. So yeah, that's kind of my take on the shticks versus having that be part of your actual brand.
Yeah. And that's so honest. And I think what we keep getting back to is just that authenticity is that's the thing that's going to drive everything, you know, not trying to make fetch happen if fetch ain't going to happen, you know, just being true to yourself. And I think at the end of the day, that authenticity is everything. Because people can sniff it out so fast, right? If you're going to try to be like somebody else just because it's working for somebody over there and like, oh, I'm going to try that, but it's not really who I am. It's obvious.
And I think like what we're looking at right now is a really good example of this, because when I'm looking at your frame, Rachel, of the stuff behind you with like the pink chair and the pillows and the lamp and then the artwork on the other side, like there's clearly a theme that is telling me a lot about who you are, right? And we got the Beatles record. So in the lending of old, we used to always meet with our clients and they come into our office and they see these things about us and that starts conversation. And whether we knew it or not, that was building our brand. And so like the biggest thing we can do is basically just digitize that. And we don't get to meet people face-to-face right like we used to. So how are you creating those opportunities for us to talk about the Beatles or for us to talk about you being in the theater or the pink chair and you referencing Mean Girls? Like that has to come from some of the stuff we're creating online, but there's this disconnect. And so that's the challenge, is like, what does your digital office look like now? Are you creating opportunities to connect with people?
This is really good information for our listeners, Trevor. What do you say, since we're kind of coming around on time, what would you say is probably the biggest piece of advice that you could give to loan officers who are struggling with how to stand out? Or, you know, I think it can be intimidating because you want to try to do something, but you do want to be, you know, authentic, as we point out, and point out some of those nuances. What would be some of your biggest piece of advice that you would give to loan officers who are looking to break out a little bit, do something different?
So I've got one. I think it is the single best thing that you can do. It was the activity that I shared with your guys' team, which is reverse brainstorming. And so the reason that I love this exercise so much is it's nobody's telling you what to do, and it gives you the ability to kind of evaluate a situation. So the way that this works is, if you're, let's say, just creating a piece of social media content, before you create it, if I were to ask you, like, what makes a good piece of social media content? It's like, it's a heavy question. It's kind of hard for us to answer. If I knew, I would do it. You know, like, that's the million-dollar question we all want to know. And so an easier question for us to answer is, what makes a bad piece of social media content? And then we're like, oh, well, it's when they use too much industry jargon. The video goes way too long. There's no energy in the delivery. The quality stinks, where I can't hear them and see them. Do the opposite of that, and you will make something that stands out and is good.
And so I like that.
One thing that would be what I would recommend, and this the interesting part, and it's a little bit humbling when you do it, is a lot of times when you'll write that down of like, what makes a bad piece of social media content, you write it down, and that's exactly what you did.
And that's powerful, because you're making something. I can even think of some things, and I'll admit it, coming out of our department, some pieces where I've looked twice at them and been like, it's a little too long. Like some of those things that you just pointed out.
Yep.
And sometimes when you get into the project and you're trying to make something impactful, you actually do the reverse of what you intend, unless you analyze in that fashion. I like that a lot. And I feel like it's something we can all do. It's a tangible that everybody can do with their business, category, any industry.
And literally anything you go into. And the amazing part is typically the answers you come up with are the things that'll make you stand out. Because when we look at like what makes a piece of marketing boring, our brain immediately goes to, what does everybody do? And that's why it becomes ineffective and boring. And so just by doing that, you're going to find a way to stand out, because it's like, everybody does this, which is why this is boring. Do the opposite. And all of a sudden you make something really engaging and great. And so it's a good way to get you out of that like writer's block, but it's also ensuring that you're doing something original and different, just because by design, what makes marketing work is doing something different. And so, yeah, that's the one thing I recommend, like, in any situation that you're doing, whether it's how you write your pre-approvals, how you call referral partners, how you make a piece of content, how you write your emails and your newsletters, like every piece of that, come back to that process and it will improve everything you do.
I like that reverse engineering, that reverse brainstorming. That's something I think would be a really great exercise people can start doing yesterday, you know, in just about every aspect. Now my wheels are turning. I'm like, oh, how can I? I'm going to do this with everything. I'm going to drive my family absolutely crazy.
Someone pointed out to me after one of the times I've done the talk, they're like, man, I heard Matthew McConaughey talk about this in a completely different context, but same thought process. Is it's hard for us to say, like, I'm amazing and I'm great and I'm going to win and I'm a winner. Some of us have a hard time with that, like, self-talk. And so his take on this, which was same process of like, are you a loser? Like, well, no. Are you terrible? Mm-hmm. No. And so if that's true, that means that the opposite of that, because if you're not a loser, you're a winner. If you're not terrible, it means you're amazing. And so it's really easy for us to go like more of a negative route than a positive one. And so like in a lot of aspects in life, beyond even just your marketing, you'll find like, man, how do I be a better husband? And like, well, I don't know. I think I'm a pretty good husband. Well, what makes a bad husband? And then you'll find these things of like, oh man, those are areas I can improve on because I'm doing that, you know, like, yeah. So a little bit deeper than just the marketing piece.
Yeah.
Our next exercise, right, Rachel? For the group.
We're getting deep. We're getting deep. before we jump, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about LinkSpot, you know,
you're absolutely
getting into the branding and who you are. And I think that's what makes you such a great speaker. And guys, you got to follow Trevor, Instagram, LinkedIn, all the places. Hire him for your next sales rally, your next speaking engagement that you need someone. He's absolutely dynamic. And I love your whole approach, Trevor, where you storytell and you bring people into who you are and what you bring to the table. And then they're like, wait, what's his company? What does he do? And I love that. It's so smart. But LinkSpot, I'm blown away by this. So many of our loan officers are using this. It's really changing the way that they are connecting with people from the get-go. So I guess that was just another natural progression of being a loan officer and seeing what people needed, offering them branding. How did LinkSpot come about?
Yeah, so really similar to how the social media coaching came about, which was like, I made this for myself 7 years ago. When I got into the industry, I worked for a mortgage company that was one of the bigger ones, and they give me my corporate website. And I'm like, do I have to use this? Because there's a lot of things that I don't love about it and it's not effective. And my background is marketing. And I'm like, I'm a marketer at heart. This is not working. And so I created my own website and obviously went through all the compliance stuff with my company to make sure that I can use it. And so I went through all of that, but I always have had my own website that I had designed as a marketer to work. And then with that is like the quiz functionality, which is how I screen and capture leads, which all these different industries use just across the board, companies in different industries of like, this is a good form of lead capture and nurture. So then I had my website and then I had the quizzes and then I'd have those go to my email software and then I'd have that go to my CRM. And like, I built this thing out and it worked incredible for me. And then as the personal brand started to grow and all these people in our industry started to connect with me, like, man, who built your website? Like, I want the same setup. And I'm like, if I gave you this setup, you would hate me. Like, it works for me, but there's like 8 pieces of software. They're all talking to each other and it's a lot. And so there at the time, like a lot of these people I'm coaching are top 100 loan officers in the country. So they have an insane amount of money to throw at the problem. And I'm like, you're going to have to hire a person if I show you how to do this. And they're like, that's fine. And so I'd done that for a few people. And it was just for the people that had a ton of money to pay for all of that software and a person to manage it. And then I was talking to a buddy who developed a software for people in a different industry. And I'm looking at the piece of software like, dude, this is amazing. And it's kind of all the things that I'm doing, but it's all in one place. Can you build me that for mortgage? And so then that was what created LinkSpot, was just taking all the stuff I had and making it really, really simple. And then we have this done for you component where you don't have to hire somebody and you don't have to learn how to become a software guru. Like, we do all of the hard stuff for you. So it developed just out of like, this is the thing that I needed. And then every loan officer really does need that solution. And it wasn't there, at least not in one piece. And so, yeah, it's been a really awesome project. And seeing it grow is just super fun.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of loan officers, we can attest, have a ton of loan officers using LinkSpot and absolutely loving it. So we highly recommend you check out the website, follow Trevor, do all the things. And this has been great.
Yeah, this has been awesome. Yeah. We're going to have to do it again.
We're going to have to definitely do it again.
There's a lot more to unpack. And I want Bridget to host the next one.
Bridget might be on vacation or holiday, I should say.
There you go.
She'll be on holiday, but Rachel might be available. Bridget's cheaper.
But yeah, this has been great. Thank you guys for having me on here.
So this has been great. Make sure that you like and subscribe Lending Leadership. We really enjoy hosting this podcast, bringing you great content and great thought leaders to follow like Trevor. Make sure that you follow Trevor, DM him and say, hey, I saw you talking to Rach and Rin and I got to know more about what you do. And Trevor, we'll definitely have you on again. Thank you so much.
Can't wait.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.